Would you take God's word this evening and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6? Deuteronomy in the 6th chapter. This morning we continued a series of messages on standards and rules. This is an important subject to cover. When the Bible says to preach the whole counsel of God, he meant also rules and standards. And we started a couple weeks ago before March Madness. Brother Stephen did such a great job while I was here. We're so thankful for Brother Stephen and the job he did. Pastor Griffiths, he's doing such a great job down there. The church is growing. Lord's blessing them. And I'm just so thankful that he comes and so good with the young people. And he's good with our church, and we just love him to death. But I want to continue the series on why all the rules and standards. Why do we have rules and standards? Sometimes young people grow up resenting rules and standards. Sometimes people will be in a church and they will resent the rules and the standards that are set before them. And just to understand, everybody has a standard. It might be a very low standard, but everybody has a standard. When I worked at McDonald's, you had to show up at McDonald's in dress code. You did not get to work that day if you didn't have the proper pants on, the proper shirt on, the proper hat on. That was a standard. And you might think whatever you want about McDonald's food, and I have some thoughts of my own about McDonald's food, but except for the Big Mac. Have you seen the Grand Mac? I had that vision years ago, and it has come to pass. So I've been taking advantage of the Grand Mac. Other than that, you can have everything else that is on that menu. But you might have a thought that, man, McDonald's has a low standard of food or whatever. But they still have a standard for their employees. They still have a standard for health and standard for where they get their food and those kinds of things. So we all have that standard. We all have a set of beliefs that we have that out of those beliefs, and sometimes this is where people get off, they want to do what they want to do and then gather their belief system out of that. You can never gather your theology out of your philosophy. Your philosophy must come out of your theology, meaning what you do must come out of what you believe. What you believe about God should determine how you live for God. What you believe about Jesus Christ ought to determine how you live your life for Jesus Christ. What you believe about salvation ought to determine how you live life in light of eternal security. You ought to, what you believe about the Holy Spirit, what you believe about marriage, what you believe about all of those things. We have a doctrinal system. We have a system of beliefs. And we say, this is what we believe. We believe Jesus Christ died on the cross. We believe His blood was perfect, that He shed His perfect blood for you and I, that our sins could be covered, and that He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. We have these doctrines and beliefs. But it doesn't stop with just doctrines and beliefs. We always say, if you were to get one of our Constitution and bylaws, it would say that our faith and practice come out of what we believe about the Bible, what we believe about God. It in turn comes into how do we live that out every single day. Well, how we live that out every single day is part of our standards. It's part of our convictions. There are certain things I will not do even if you put a gun to my head. Even if you threaten me with jail today, there's certain things I would not do. By the way, I would not give up that book right there. I'd go to jail for that book right there. I believe that strongly about the Word of God. I believe it needs to be in our life. I believe it needs to be memorized. I believe it needs to be studied. I believe it needs to be meditated upon. I believe it needs to be read. I believe it needs to be preached from. I believe that all of those things ought to happen from the Word of God. And I am so convicted by that thought that no matter what anybody did to me, whether they said, I'm going to throw you in jail if you do not give up that book, I would go to jail for that book. If somebody told me to renounce the name of Christ or they would kill me, I would not renounce the name of Christ. I would be willing to die. So you have these doctrines, you have these convictions, things that you believe so strongly about these doctrines that you will be willing to die for those things. It is a conviction of yours. We have, after that, we would have our preference, or we would have standards and preferences. We would have something that we say, we live our life this way. These are doctrines, these are convictions. But these are our standard. This is how we, because we have these doctrines and because we have these convictions and because we believe that every person ought to believe these things and live this way, this is how we live it out on a daily basis. So because we believe those things, we practice those things. And the practice of those things are our standards and the rules and the things that we put in place to be what God wants us to be on a daily basis. Well, we talked about in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that there's coming a generation along that will end up asking why. They will end up asking what. They'll end up asking, why do we do this, this, and this? By the way, if you don't encourage your children to ask questions, you're making a very grave mistake in your home. I believe that children ought to be encouraged to ask questions. I believe they ought to know what they believe. I believe they ought to know why they believe it. I don't believe the questions entail, why do I have to clean up my room? Those aren't the questions I'm talking about. You clean up your room because it's dirty and you look like a pig. Your room looks like a pigsty, so go clean it. Very simple answers. Because mom and dad said that you have to clean up your room, and we obey in this house, and if you don't, with direct disobedience comes a punishment. And so we're not talking about silly questions that, well, why do we have to eat this? Or why do we have to clean up our room? I'm talking about the standards you put in front of them. Your children should be able to ask, why do we dress this way, Mom? Why do we watch this kind of stuff? Why don't you let me watch that? Why am I not allowed to listen to that? I've told our children, if they come in the right spirit, they can ask me any question in the world. If they have the right spirit, I will try the spirit, whether it's the spirit of truth or error. I will try that spirit, whether they're coming to try to be sarcastic or cynical towards that standard, or they truly are trying to find out that reason why we do what we do. I believe it's absolutely necessary for a child to base those belief, their belief system. See, in an adult's life, we work from our doctrine. And then we say our convictions, and out of our conviction come our standards, and out of our standards comes our preferences, and all of these things. In a child's life, they're simply seeing the standard. They don't know they don't know the conviction. They don't necessarily know the doctrine. But the Bible says if they will obey those things, in John chapter 18, Jesus Christ said, if they will obey these things, they will know the doctrine. And so sometimes when you're dealing with children or baby Christians, you have to set before them a standard, and they're working kind of backwards on those things. As you're discipling them, you want them to strengthen them in the area of doctrine. You're trying to teach them what they believe. You're trying to teach them what they should believe and why they should believe that. You're telling them why we believe that Jesus Christ could be the sinless Son of God. We try to get them to believe, understand why we believe in the virgin birth of Mary and Jesus. We try to get them to understand why we believe the Word of God is perfect and sharper than any two-edged sword. We try to get them to believe and understand the matter of the Holy Spirit and how He works and comforts and guides and directs and teaches and convicts and challenges. We try to get them to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But we're trying to set before them a standard. We're trying to make sure that what they see is consistent to what they hear, so that there's never a contradiction between their doctrine, their convictions, and their standards and rules. Because that's end up what's happening with standards. A lot of times we set a standard, but we don't set that standard out of our doctrines and our convictions. We set that standard out of how we feel about that standard. We set that standard out of what we think the way it should be. And that is not how God sets our standard. God sets our standard from the doctrine, from the truth, from the testimony, from the statute, from the commandment first. The law He gave them. And then He says, here's how I want you to practice that. So when the children come along, we said, we have got to teach them standards and rules, number one, because of a worldly culture that we live in. The Bible says they were with Pharaoh, as bondmen in Egypt. We talked about a worldly culture. Egypt is always a picture of worldly culture in the Bible. And God has saved us from worldly culture. He has saved us so we do not be that we're not entrapped with the things of this world. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, to lose his own soul? So we try to show them that the culture that we're living in is not the most important thing. We will be in the culture, but we will not be of the culture. And it's important for us to teach our children those things. Yes, we have to go to our jobs. Yes, we have to go to the store. Yes, we must go to the gas station. Yes, we'll need to go to the mall. And yes, we'll need to do these things. But we are not part of that culture. And here's why we're not a part of that culture. And we show them that we are not part of that culture because of what we believe and why we believe it. And we try to get them to understand those things. Number two, we said we not only have standards and rules because of the worldly culture, but number two, because of the worldly personalities. We have got to be careful with all of the personalities that are out there today. Adults, it's for us too. It is the same thing for us today. We always talk to the children about, don't follow that Hollywood star, and don't follow that person, that musician, and we want to make sure that they're not following his personalities, but we fall in love with a certain talk show host, we'll fall in love with a certain politician, and we become obsessed with these things, of these worldly personalities. We've got to be careful with that. Because Pharaoh, the original Pharaoh that Joseph was under, was a nice Pharaoh. And he leaned on Joseph for much of his opinion and much of his wisdom. But when that Pharaoh died, there's another Pharaoh that rose up that didn't know the God of Joseph. And it's a great picture for you and I that there are successive generations that are being born today that know less and less about God. There are less and less people in Bible-believing churches today. There are less and less people per capita. There are less and less people that believe in the Bible. There are less and less people that believe these things because that is why we need to have standards and rules. Because there are worldly personalities that are constantly trying to pull our children's heart, pull the adult's heart, pull our church members' hearts away from the things of God. And so we've got to be careful because of the worldly culture, because of the worldly personalities, and lastly, because there is worldly bondage. If they follow those people long enough, and they follow those things long enough, they will be captured by those things. They will be in bondage to those things. It's like the person who says, I'm a social drinker. I've met social drinkers before. But I guarantee you, I've met more people in my life who started as social drinkers and are now drunkards. Because a social drinker means the mentality is, I have control over how much alcohol I drink. But a drunkard is a person who is in bondage to the alcohol. And so we don't believe in social drinking of alcohol. Because we believe that those things, that culture of social drinking, if I'm just getting together with my friends and it's just a family get-together, we believe when we're a part of that culture and those personalities says it's fine, that we believe that can lead to the bondage that those sins bring. So we talk about music and we talk about dress and we talk about habits we have and making sure that the prescriptions we're taking are above board and there's accountability there because anytime you think you have control over something that is dangerous, it can come back and put you in bondage. I mean, the children of Israel, the Bible says, were multiplying in Egypt. They were just happy to stay there. They were being fed and they were being taken care of and they had land, but they got put in bondage. They ended up having to build all the buildings for Egypt. They end up having to build the pyramids for Egypt. They end up having to make bricks and build the Egyptians' houses. They were flourishing. And eventually they were put into bondage. You might control it today, friend. You might have your headphones and nobody hears what's on those things and you think it's not a big deal. But I can promise you from experience, those things put you into a spiritual, emotional battle and bondage if you're not careful with those things. And so we said this morning, we said, listen, the only one of the things we have to do with our young people, one of the things we need to do with our church family, is we have to not only look at the negative side of it. Listen, there's a bad culture out there. There are personalities that don't love the Lord, and they're not going to help you love the Lord more. There's a worldly bondage out there that if you're not careful, you mess with these things. They can turn on you. I read an article the other day about the man who raised a tiger. He was given a tiger as a present, and it was a little cub, and he loved it, and it was just good to it, and he fed it, and they became friends. And there came a day where he was in his backyard with that tiger, and they were playing and messing around, and that tiger mauled him to death. Listen, you can't take a tiger in your backyard and as a little. You might think, well, he's just small and he's cute and what a cute little cat. And those things grow. Those things get bigger. And it's just the same way as sin, friend. You might say, I've got this. I mean, it's not a big deal, preacher. I mean, you don't understand. My parents don't care. My parents let me do these things. But wait a second. Does God want you to do those things? Is God approving of those things? Does the Bible say that those things are right to do? And that's where so many times we say, well, my parents or my teacher or I saw so-and-so do it. And we think, well, that must be the standard. So-and-so did it. Like they're the standard for everything. Well, I saw so-and-so's family and this is how they had their kids date and all their kids turned out. Wait a second. We don't date how the world dates. We don't date because so-and-so said. We date what we follow the standard of dating by what the Bible says. Nothing more and nothing less. May I caution you, parents, don't add bondage to your children with the law. Looking at me like I got five eyes. There is a way to put your children in a bondage when the Bible says they have a liberty in Christ. If you are saved, if you have a saved home, if your family are Christians, there is a way, the Bible says, that you can use that liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. And the Bible says in Hebrews that you can crucify Christ over and over and over because you don't set the right standard of the way people look at Jesus Christ. You put people back under the law. We do not live under law. We live by laws. We have laws all around us. But we do not live under the law of God. We live under the grace of God. And so when we're setting standards, it's not setting standards so we can box them in and they have nowhere to go and they have to obey these things and then they're going to turn out right. No, you have to teach your young people that in Christ you have a liberty. But we don't use that liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. We don't use our liberty as a license to do whatever we want. There are still standards, there are still rules, there are still doctrines and reproof and corrections and instructions in righteousness that God has for each of us. Sometimes parents, they add to the Scripture. Do you realize that God said that the penalty, we know it as a principle of God's Word, that if you take the Word of God and if you take anything away from the Word of God, you're guilty? But what else did He say? If you add to the Word of God. I know a lot of parents, by their standards, that add to the Word of God. How do cults start? People take a doctrine of God's Word and they add to it or they take it out of context and it becomes an entire religion that they can set their own standards and their own rules and their own bondage of their people while trying to set up a godly doctrine. They're not taking away from God's Word, they're simply adding to it. And it's just as bad, my friend. So when we're talking to our children about these standards, don't make up something that you heard one time. Don't give a definition for a word. I learned this the other day. Somebody asked me if I knew the definition of such and such a word. I said, oh yeah, it's this. And I was simply giving the definition I've always heard every preacher ever give for that word. They said, would you look that up? I said, sure. So I looked it up. It didn't have anything to do with that. It was a bad definition I was given. I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary. I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance, in the original Greek and Hebrew. I looked it up everywhere, and I could not come to the viewpoint of what those preachers said that word meant. You know what we do? We take a word and we say, this is what it means, and so that we can show people that this is what it means, and then we can have you do a certain thing a certain way, and now we have a standard. No, it comes from the true Word of God. And it's exactly the way God has it in His Word. And we interpret it the right way. And we apply it the right way. And we have it from God, from His Word. And it's not taken away from so that I can do whatever I want. And I don't add to it so that I can put people in bondage so they'll listen to me and they'll turn out just right because I've got them in a little box here and a little row here. Does that make sense? We have to be careful with that. Because people go to both extremes. They take away from the Word of God and they don't teach their children that there's a biblical standard at all. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about rock and roll. Yes, it does. It doesn't say the words rock and roll. That was invented in like 1954 or something. But there are principles in God's Word that will show you very clearly what music your children ought to be listening to and singing and growing upon and what we ought to be doing in church and how what kind of music we ought to have in church. There's many, many verses for personal worship and corporate worship. And if we don't add anything to the Bible, I'm not talking about Professor So-and-so said in his class one time and released a book with all of these rules about music that you don't find in God's Word. I'm talking about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And that's just a couple of examples. People add to the Word of God so that we can have a certain type of music, and everybody in fundamentalism has to have this kind of music, and if you don't have this kind of music, you're not a real Baptist. Well, no, friend, you just add it to the Word of God, just like people take away from the Word of God and have rock concerts in their church. We ought to come to church and not have a rock concert, and we ought not to have this over here, that the liberty that we have in Christ doesn't get to move. And we have lots of truth but no spirit, and lots of spirit but no truth. And the Bible says a godly church will have a balance if we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Lively, godly, blessed music that has truth in it. And those are just a couple examples of how we do that in Christianity. And we're not going to the Word. My whole thing is we've got to go to the Word of God. God said when the children ask these questions, this is what you tell them. There is a worldly culture, there are worldly personalities, and there is worldly bondage out there. That is the extreme they're going to get there if they don't pay attention to the testimonies, the doctrines, the statutes, the commandments of God. But I also want you to tell your children this. Look here in verse number 21. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. One of the reasons we have rules and standards is because what we do matters, because we serve a powerful God. We have rules and standards because God is powerful. And God can take something as simple as the way you talk, the way that you speak to others, can take that speech, that godly, spirit-filled, doctrinal, blessed speech that comes out of your mouth and combine it with His power and do mighty things, can take people out of bondage, can take people away from the worldly culture, can pull people away from those worldly personalities simply by the way we speak, by the way we dress, by what we listen to. The music that is coming from our mouth, the new song the Bible says that people can see. By the habits we have. By the way we treat others with love and have joy and peace in our hearts. The times we show temperance. Peace that passes all understanding and the passing of a loved one. All of these things, we've got to put a standard and rule in place in our lives and say, God, I'm going to do this not because it feels good or not because it feels wrong. I'm putting this in because I believe I've searched the Word of God and this is what I ought to do, and I need your power with this. I need you to combine your power. I don't want to be a part of the worldly culture. I don't want to be a part of those worldly personalities. I don't want to be a part of the worldly bondage that unsave people and then save people go back into that stuff. Lord, I want to do what's right. So I believe after searching your word, this is the way I ought to dress. I believe after searching your word, this is the kind of church I should be in. I believe after searching your word, this is the way I should talk to people. I believe after searching your word, this is the way the music I ought to listen to. After searching your word, this is the kind of entertainment I should take in. I believe after searching your word, this is the kind of way I ought to raise my children. Because God can take those things that you've searched out, and as minuscule as you think, they're not as big as doctrines. Listen, your standards aren't as big as your doctrines. Doctrines are the basis of our belief. You can have doctrines without the standard, and you can be saved. Amen? Amen? But I've known people that dress right that aren't saved. I've known people go to church 30 years and go to church with good music and good preaching and all of those things, and they're not saved. They had the standard. but they didn't know the doctrine. And I've known people who have the doctrine and they haven't arrived at all with some kind of standards. And they haven't grown that area. But listen, I call it this. I call it grace to grow. God's grace is able to bring somebody to the point of salvation. And it's amazing, just listening to these few stories, how God, the winding road He took Miss Savannah on for years in religion and different places and different things and raising her family and different husbands and all of these things that led her to that hospital room, that led her to that moment, that the grace of God showed up in her life and said, this is the church you need to be a part of. Listen, I believe in grace to grow. I don't believe that everybody around here needs to look the same. If you walk in a church and everybody looks the same, run for your life. Because you've walked into a place that people are not growing at different rates. And my Bible says in the church there are people that are growing by the milk of the Word, and there are people that are growing by the meat of the Word, and we're to grow thereby. And so something is wrong. Either people are taking on the standard because somebody said to, or people have the standard because that's truly what they believe God wants them to have. But I believe in this church, I believe in any church, everybody is at a different growth rate. I believe that every person is at a different place in their walk with God. And so I call it grace to grow. The Bible says that God giveth grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. I believe if you'll just stay humble, I believe if you just stay patient, I believe if you just stay loving people, I believe that grace will show them where they need to come to in their standards and rules. Because I believe we serve a powerful God. He is able to show that person over there and that person over there and that person over there exactly what they need to do and when they need to do it. Because God is powerful. And God is a loving God. Number two, that's where we want to go with it. Look at verse number 23. And He brought us out from thence, that He might bring us in, to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive, as it is at that day, at this day. What Moses was saying here is that the reason I'm telling my children about this is because what we are doing by listening to the laws and listening to the commandments and listening to the statutes and the testimonies, why these standards and these rules based on these doctrines and these convictions, why? Why do we do this, Dad? Because God is powerful. And God can take those things that we do that we think are so insignificant. I mean, what does it matter the length of this and the place I go and this song? And what does it matter? Because God can take that. Many shall see it, the Bible says, and fear and trust in the Lord. God can take something as simple as the new song that He's given you after salvation. The what you sing, where you go, what you do. He can take those new things and lead people to Jesus through it. Because He's powerful. Number two, I believe it's because He's loving. God brought them out of Egypt. Not so they could do a certain thing because He wanted them to do a certain thing. The Bible says He brought them out to bring them in. And then He said this, for our good always. You know why God allows you to live after salvation? Why He wants you to continue to grow after salvation? Why He wants to continue to raise your children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Because He's a loving God. Because He wants you to share with others the love. Because He wants your children to know that the God they're serving has always their good in mind. I love Romans 8:28. I'm reading a book on Romans 8. I love, and we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We would all attest to the fact that not everything goes good all the time. But the Bible says that God is working it for our good. He is allowing you not to get on a plane in Myrtle Beach, which I have no idea why still. A little bit bitter, Lord. Need some help. He's probably the bitter one. He had to drive 11 hours. because I took the wrong pill. So tired. Yeah. It's like when we go to a restaurant and I forget my wallet. Oh, Pastor Lear. Oh, I forgot. Got my wallet. You have $100 for me? Can you catch me this time? But listen, that the Bible shows us that He brought them out of Egypt, out of that bondage, out of that culture. Look here, teenagers, look here. He brought you out of that culture, and He wants you away from those personalities, and He wants you free from that bondage because He loves you. Because He has your good in mind. You say, well, you know, Pastor, it's not always fun to be under the standards and rules. But we talked about it being fun. I'd like for you to find in this book where it is fun. Bible says He wants you to live with abundant joy. But I know joy sometimes isn't fun. I've been through situations where God has given me an inner peace, and it wasn't very fun to go through. So we're not talking about a standard here and rules here that make it fun for you to live. But we're talking about rules and standards that we believe come out of our doctrines and our convictions and the way that we practice the Word of God and we search the Word of God. We set up a standard and a rule. And the reason we do that is not only because God can take that thing and add His power to it and change somebody's life that is still in that bondage. But we also believe that God does it because He loves you. I've never known a young lady to be hurt by dressing right. Listen, I'm not saying there's not sin out there. I'm not saying there's a bunch of crazy people out there. But I've never known a young person to be injured and emotionally scarred because of the way they dressed and dressed right for the Lord. I've never seen anybody fall over in a service after singing a hymn. I know some of you look like you're bored to death sometimes, but I've yet to see you die. Oh, these hymns, man, what in the world? Because the Bible says we're just singing hymns, right? There's a certain pattern for a hymn. The Bible says psalms. We should be singing scriptural songs. The Bible says that we should have spiritual songs. We should have the Hedermans come up and sing a song that gets us thinking about the grace of God. We ought to have the choir singing the God of all ages and how we exalt Him. What a wonderful thing to think of. Listen, that standard and that rule of those music, of that music and those dress standards and entertainment standards and the way that we want. When I hear young people use certain words, my wife will tell you, I'm a stickler in our home for slang talk and all this stuff that people have out there. And you're not having, that's a bunch of. And I'm not talking about the bad words. I'm talking about these slang words we throw around. Why am I a stickler for that? Because that's not the way God wants. He always wants our conversation, our lifestyle to be always filled with grace. And when we say crass words and we say things that we ought not to say or say it meanly or get angry over these things, we've got to be careful. That's also a standard. And so the Bible shows us that God did this for Israel. He brought them out and set up statutes and testimonies and laws and commandments for them because He loved them and He always had their good in mind. And yes, He had rules for their food. They didn't have refrigerators in that day. And He had rules and laws about their food. Stinking laws about food. Are you kidding me? God saved that whole entire nation because of the laws He showed them about food. There were certain quarantine things that He said, if it looks like this and it's a disease or something, this is what I want you to do with that person. Oh, God is so restrictive. He just won't let me walk around with a giant boil on my arm. He saved the entire nation of people because He had quarantine rules and laws for them. And it goes right down, why would I have to wear that? I mean, what's the big deal? Because God has your good in mind. And He knows that lust is going to be rampant in your world. And He knows that men lust after women and women lust after men. And these things are prominent and prevalent in the day and age we live in. So there has to be a standard and a rule so that our young ladies will not deal with some of that lust and that obsession that happens with young men and young ladies. You understand what I'm saying? God is powerful and can take those things, but God is also loving. And He sets up certain standards and rules and statutes and testimonies and commandments in His Word that He still expects us to obey today because He loves you. And because if you'll follow those things, He's always doing it for your good. And so when you have that thought, man, when I get out of here and out of this house, I'm going to do it this way. Be very careful. Be very careful with that thought. Because when you do it your way, I'm not saying the way your parents raised you is absolutely perfect. No, you're not going to hear that from me. I had parents, and I am a parent. And my parents are getting wiser and wiser as I get older and older. I say, man, what were they doing that for? And then my daughter comes in, I'm like, I got it, Lord. Yeah, that's why. Listen, we have rules and standards. So young people, look at me. When you have those thoughts, fine to have that thought because it's going to come in. It's going to be a natural thought. And here's what you say. I'm not going to do it my way when I get older. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it the Bible way. And I'm not going to do it the way so-and-so said to do it. I'm not even going to make my parents the standard. Listen, I think you can learn wonderful things from your parents. But listen, people in this room, we are frail, the Bible says. We are temporal people. We don't understand sometimes how to do certain things. We don't understand why we're doing certain things. We can make mistakes. And so I'm not teaching my children to grow up and be like me and grow up and be like my wife. I want them to grow up and be like God. And I want them to search the Scriptures. And they will have to deal with cultural things that we're not even aware of right now. They're going to have to deal with personalities that are so far eccentric from the people we're watching on television today. And you won't be able to find a show without a homosexual, a sodomite on that program. They're going to deal with cultural things and they're going to deal with personalities and they're going to see a generation in bondage and they will have to search the Scriptures daily and they will have to figure out with their families and figure out with their children. We ought not be trying to make our children like us. We ought to be pointing them to be like Christ and to search the Bible. Because we don't wear robes like they did in the Bible days. We wear what we're wearing. And we have to culturally figure out in this time and this day what God wants us to do today. Because in their day, they had to figure out what God wanted them to do in their day. And so we don't try to pass on to the next generation the way we do it. We try to pass on to them the Word of God. The same doctrines we have. The same convictions we have. And let them come to the standard that they're supposed to have according to God's Word. Because God will be working in their life always for their good. Because you know why? He's a powerful God. And He's a loving God. Lastly, I want to say this to you. We ought to have rules and standards because verse 25 says, it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God. I believe that we should have rules and standards because God's holy. God expects you to be righteous. The day you got saved, you put on the righteousness of Christ. That is a wonderful thing in our lives. But isn't it amazing how sometimes we don't do the right thing? And God says if we'll search the Scriptures, and God says if we look at the commandments, and God says if we look at the statutes and testimonies, and God says if we'll study the Word of God and study these things, generation after generation after generation, we'll find out one thing is true. Three things are true. God's powerful, God is loving, but number three, God's holy. And the reason we need standards and rules is because we are not trying to be comfortable in this world. We are trying to be godly in this world. And the Bible says that God said to us, be ye holy, for I am holy. Yes, you can be righteous. You can put on the breastplate of righteousness every day. You can go into battle and win those wars by doing what is right, by thinking what is right, by dressing right, by living right, by acting right, by talking right, by going to the right places and doing the right things. Why? Because you serve a God that is holy. And when I search out the attributes of God, I find out very quickly that God expects us to chase after Him. God expects us to learn more about Him. He's made a way for us to go to heaven to see Him, go to heaven to be with Him. But while we're living on this world, while we're living on this earth, we are going to be part of a culture, personalities. We're going to be in such bondage at times. God says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Be in the world, but not of the world. And I believe every young person, look here. I don't believe that your standards ought to be just because there's worldliness out there and just because there's bad people out there and they're not going to lead you to God and they're not going to help you. I believe that with all my heart, but I don't believe that's the only reason. I believe with this passage that God showed them, you tell your children how bad it was back there and what bad bondage it was. You tell them that, but you also tell them this, the Lord brought us out with His mighty hand. We serve a powerful God. You tell them that I'm always working everything for their good. You tell them they're serving a loving God. Number three, when you tell them they need to be righteous and they need to do what is right and they need to live right and dress right and act right and follow these laws and know testimonies and statutes and commandments of the Lord, when you show them that, it is because we serve a holy God. And we've got to be holy also. So this is not about your comfort. This is not about not getting made fun of. This is not about living your life so nobody looks at you sideways. It's not about living your life so that you can kind of skate through and nobody notices you. It's about standing up and being unashamed in this worldly culture, amongst these worldly personalities, amongst this bondage that is all around us, saying, I know a God who is powerful. I know a God who is loving. And I serve a God who is holy. And that's what He's doing in my life. And that is how I'm going to set up my standards and rules. Would you stand with me for a prayer tonight, please?